The Naked Love Podcast from Premier Gospel.
Hello and welcome back to season 3 of the Naked Love Podcast.
In this podcast, we'll be getting raw and honest about real love, tackling the big topics from a Christian perspective.
Yep, and we'll be talking about business and pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
And the things they don't tell you in marriage prep.
Remember, if you're thinking about it, then we are most definitely
talking about
you. Amen. Yes. And don't forget, you can catch us on our previous seasons 1 and 2, and you can listen back on premier.plus or follow us on Instagram at
Naked.
That's right.
So, time for our favorite part of the program. It is
NL Street. Love NL Street.
This week on NL Street.
I've made it.
You've had your headphones on working away all morning.
It's our new sexy playlist.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
Wait. It's good, Jason. Trust me.
Okay. Let me see.
There you go.
Here I am to worship. What, Lord our God? Why are these worship songs on this playlist?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, we could start bringing worship in our bedroom.
And why would we ever do that?
We commit everything else in our life to God, so why not sex?
Because it's sacred between me and you. God can watch from afar.
More from NL Street next week.
So, the question I'm going to ask you today, Miss Kathy.
Talk to me.
I'm talking to you.
Talk to me.
Can you have a holy and healthy sex life?
100%. 100%. I think that literally is synonymous. I think...
Okay, before you get in there...
Okay, talk to me. Tell me.
Right. So, let me give you an example. So you're newly married, virgin, don't know nothing. Will your sex life be holy and healthy?
Yes, it can be. Oh. It may not be everybody's experience, but it can be. I feel like sex was made by God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, because it's not the church that is talking about sex in or liberation or sexual, you know, sexual wholeness and things like that, we think, oh, it's taboo to talk about sex, or it's taboo to, you know, how can sex be holy? Well, actually, God is the one who created it. He created it. It is for us. Like, God is the one who gives us every good thing, and sex is part of that good thing.
Oh,
you
definitely,
know?
Definitely.
100%. So I feel like, yes, like, as a married couple, you can definitely have a healthy and holy sex life. And, you know, there's even stories of people who pray, literally people who pray before they engage in intercourse, before they have sex with their partner. Like, and I'm not saying you have to do that in order to be holy, but literally the act of sex, the act of two becoming one, like the married man and woman joining together and becoming one, that is an act of worship in and of itself. It is like, glory! The angels in heaven, I'm sure, rejoice.
The angels in heaven, I can't get with the praying before. I just can't.
Really?
No, man. I just...
Really?
Yeah.
We haven't really tried it, to be fair.
Never tried it. It doesn't even come into my... At that moment, I ain't thinking about praying.
But I'm interested. Maybe we should. I've put a little memo to my husband.
Yeah, you tell your husband, and I can't see him saying, yes, baby, we... But I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah,
worth a try.
You can try. I it's not gonna come into my head to even think to ask. So, So, in order to be, so I know I've heard horror stories.
Okay.
I call it horror stories when people are given counseling by their pastors.
Yes.
And you know the question they ask, because remember, for all your life at church, sex. Mm-hmm. Now you're married, you're gonna have sex. I've heard horror stories of. So a young lady, she asked, how often should they, you know, have intercourse with her husband?
Yep.
And the pastor said no less than once a week or something like that. Or I was like, why would he put a limit on it? Like, I know, if something like that, she put no less than once a week or something. I was like, just whenever, innit?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's funny. I think, especially after you just have a baby, I feel like sometimes intimacy needs to be scheduled, and if it isn't scheduled,
that's fine.
It probably won't happen. Sometimes again, we haven't really got there yet. We haven't really had to schedule it in, but literally when you don't, when you're dealing with a whole new life and you're trying to do that transition, then sometimes I feel like probably intimacy would need to be scheduled. But again, sometimes naturally there'll be a pause on intimacy because you're dealing with a whole new
human being. Everybody's tired and all of that stuff. So that's
different. But I feel like newlyweds, obligation. If it's, it should just come naturally. I was thinking,
if someone, if that was me and someone asked me that question, whenever you want.
Yes, whenever you want,
not
yes.
At minimum once a week like this, like, okay, we've done it. Wednesday, next week. See you next week, baby.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be zipped up all week. It's like, whenever you want, man.
Yes.
So, I don't know. So, but churches are funny places when it comes to sex. They're not very open.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it comes down to is because how it was in the old school, and if you've been in church for a long period of time, because that old school taboo around sex, I think when you become a pastor, you still got that mindset, isn't it? You haven't, some pastors haven't changed, and the congregation are still a bit nervous around it, but there's a whole heap of kids running around, but nobody wants to talk about how these kids came to be.
Yes.
So it's like, well, we have children, okay.
And
I think some of the children need to be born, but because no one was spoken about contraceptions or everything, they was like, okay, they're just having babies.
Yeah.
But I think something that we need to more tap into as a body of Christ.
That is so true, because I think ultimately you kind of just figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you come into marriage and, you've grown up in the church. I didn't really grow up in the church per se, but you kind of just figure out, you and your husband kind of just, it's like, okay, let's just see how it happens. Let's see. And you're right, even things about like contraception, you don't really like, my view was that I'm married, I shouldn't use contraception with my husband. That was actually my point of view. Like, I didn't want to, two kids later and we're done. Or, we don't know what will happen. But at the moment, I'm like, okay, I actually have to look into contraception, which is something I had never really thought I would have to do or want to do. But actually, in the practicalities of life, unless you're just going to, go and say, whatever God wants, and just if you get pregnant, you get pregnant. But, if you want to plan your family, and want to know, okay, right, I'm having this amount of children and stuff, then you are going to have to think about things like this.
We're not living the Bible days where you can just have...
Yes, you could just go pop,
and live off the land.
And I did want... I told you at one point I wanted 7 kids.
No, you said 10. No,
I never said 10.
It was 1 from every nation.
Oh, once upon a time.
The Benetton range.
Benetton range. I remember that. Yeah, that was when I was little. But even after I got married, I thought I really wanted a huge family. But pregnancy is not... pregnancy is not a joke. Do you know what I mean? The amount of, I'm still feeling it on my body, even though my youngest is 1 now. Yeah. Do you know? I literally was on the phone to the doctor today about aches that I'm having, which apparently was, after pregnancy and breastfeeding and things like that, the hormone relaxin is released. Yeah. So things like that, the body goes through a lot.
Women's body goes through a lot.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, maybe, 7 was a bit.
7.
But I'm so happy with our family now. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this family that we have. So it's all about, seeing how that goes and just, doing what's right for you and your family.
That's right.
But it's interesting because the worldview on sex is literally revolution, sexual freedom, revolution, do what you want with your body. Let's have it. Let's do this. Whereas obviously, as the Christian view, it's more between sex is between a married couple. That's how God ordained it. And I think, when this whole thing of sexual liberation, I think it really started, was it in the 60s or the 80s? When the whole, maybe 70s, just like, really groovy, groovy. Yeah, yeah. It started there, not in the excess that it is now, but now it's just like free for all, have sex, do what you want. And, we kind of see the impact of this in the world. Like, I don't know if you heard the news recently about Russell Brand.
Yeah.
People coming forward, because he was very openly... I'm a sex addict. I love sex. He didn't hide that.
Nope.
He was blatant with it. He was, very free with it. And again, everybody's like,
he got ratings for it.
He got rated for it.
He got all his work is done because of that sexual icon thing that, he got. Remember, he's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But he became bigger than a comedian because of his sexuality.
And he didn't hide it. This is the thing. And if sometimes there is a lot of shame around sex. But he was very much like, and this is the new thing now. Yeah, sexual liberation. And men, I feel like if it was a woman who did that, I don't know if a woman coming out and saying, yeah, I'm a sex addict, I want... I don't know if it would have been met in the same way. I feel like sexual liberation is different for men different for women. But the thing is, of recent, there's been this whole thing of women, you know, do what you want. It doesn't matter about how many men you sleep with, how many, you know, sexual partners you've had. And again, a lot, some women, I won't say a lot or many, I don't know, but some women are really jumping on this wagon. And as you can see, as the from the spin-off of, I mean, the fallout from the Russell Brand now, there's accusations being thrown about because it's like, hold on. For you, it was sexual liberation. For me, I didn't feel like that, you know?
They felt used and abused.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, sex is different for men and women anyway. The whole sex, women can say, I can switch off, I'm not emotionally attached and all of that. Yeah, to a point, but someone's entering you.
Yeah.
So it takes on a whole different energy.
Yeah.
And you going around and being sexually liberated and free,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have the same validity as it does for men, because a woman sleeping around is viewed differently to a man sleeping around.
Yeah.
And it's viewed differently by both sexes. It's not just male or female. For the guys, it's a pat on the back, well done, mate. For women, it's like, ooh.
And unfortunately, you know, we have been trying to get rid of that difference in, how can I put it, difference in views of it. But unfortunately, it still lingers. Do you know what I mean? Women want to say, and like in this whole news of Russell Brand's, you know, liberated sex life, it's revealing the ugly truth of the revolution,
mm-hmm.
you know, because hormonally, we are wired differently. Women are actually, like, there's science to back this up. I'm not talking from of my own accord. There's actual science to back this up, that women are, we release, like we connect, we bond during the acts of sex. Actual hormones that connect us to the person we are having intercourse with is released.
That's right.
So that's why a man can, even though, listen, if you're married, don't be going around having sex with other people, but that's why a man can say it was just sex. But for a woman, it's like, no, I bonded with them on another level. And for any of the men listening, because I just realized that it might sound like we're saying, yeah, you know, guys can.
No, don't. I'm going to tell you, don't do it. I've been there.
Okay.
I was that guy.
Mm.
My BC days, in Premier, they call it my BC days.
Before
I tell a story, they always ask me, Fia, is it going to be a BC story or an AC story?
After Christ. Before Christ.
So they have to ask me. If I say BC, they say, do I need to get baptized again after hearing the story? I have got stories.
Mm.
But for men, I was that guy. I was promiscuous and all of that. And this is back in the 90s and stuff like that, when it really started off. Do you remember that song, I Wanna Sex You Up by Colour Me Bad? It came out like 1989, 1990.
Okay.
That's when everything changed.
Mm.
Music changed because they were allowed to say the word sex. Because they didn't really say it before.
Interesting.
Like in a song and stuff like that. And that's when the song started to get progressively worse. Even the guy that sang the song says, in how many babies were born on the back of that song?
Wow.
Yeah, so that's when it kind of really exploded and kind of got into people's faces, and they started to advertise more sexual advertisements. Advertisements was about sex, and everything you did, you know, you're a man, you put on this aftershave, you're going to get females. And I brought into that as a
The Lynx effect.
Yeah, the Lynx effect and all that. I remember when Lynx came out and it was like, I need to get her some Lynx.
Yes.
So I brought into all of that. And what happens is, you, as a guy, you go around, you see lovely females, you get the young, but your mission is just to get the female. There was no long-term plan where, you know, but I was kind of honest. I told them up front, this ain't going any further than this.
Mm.
But I know a lot of my friends, no. They're just getting girls for getting girls and just having them there. No intentions of relationship or anything with them. It was just really, I'm going to link them at such and such a time. And I had that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was my booty call at 11 o'clock. When it got past certain time, okay, I can't call this one. I can't call this one. I can call her at 1 o'clock, I know she'll be up.
Yeah, wow.
And it's literally, I'm coming to your house at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not coming for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving at 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what connection are there? What's there? There's nothing there. It's just sex. And me, I was cool. I'm not thinking about how she's feeling. Like, is this really bad? Is this? But I learned, don't say I love you. Because I used to say that.
Mm.
Oh, I love you, baby.
Yeah, and the thing is, sometimes when we look at the parameters and the boundaries God has set in place for sexual expression and things like that, God put all these things in place for a reason. Sometimes we feel like, oh yeah, God just doesn't want me to have fun. Like, he knows what he's talking about. God is our creator. He made us. He knows why he put these boundaries in place, so that there wouldn't be these occurrences and these situations. And, you know, I guess the question is it only men that can benefit from a liberated sex life? If not, and okay, sorry, I know I'm going off maybe on a tangent, but I feel like when men are reckless with sperm, when they're reckless with their, you know, it affects the whole of society. Yep. Men are supposed to be the head of our homes. When there are so many fatherless children around because men couldn't control themselves and, you know, or people have been cheated on, or they're cheating on their wives, like, it just creates a litany of broken homes. And this is across all ethnicities, all genders, you know, countries. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just creates brokenness, and it doesn't lead to us glorifying God on earth. We are not building his kingdom here on earth when we are not, you know, being holy in our sex life. And for me, holiness in sex life is being sexually intimate with the one you've given your life to, like the one that you said, look, God, before God, we are for death till death do us part. We are together. This is us.
The Naked Love Podcast.
So, you know, some people may say that Christians have too many rules around sex. I don't know. But I just feel like those rules are there to protect everybody involved.
I think that I think we do have too many rules, but I think the only rule should be, you know, you should be with your partner, you know, the partner that is, because as you said, so many broken homes.
Mm.
I know guys, I've got 6 children myself. I know guys that's got 15, 20, 20 plus children.
Yeah.
And I know they don't see all of them. And I know they don't know half their names or birthdays or all of that. As it's just broken. But because they want to be, you know, sexually liberated, I can do this. I'm a man. Yeah. You know, me, I'm a man. Me can do what I want. And that's it. Just go about my business. And just as you said, not going to use no protection. I'm going to do that. And then all of that, you're transmitting diseases as well.
Yeah.
Because you're going from one to the next or the next.
Exactly.
And you don't know if that woman is only sleeping with you.
True.
So you thinking I'm the only man, but that time she's got a partner, whatever, and they're having unprotected sex. So you're bringing all of that into the equation, and it just passes around, and it's a dangerous game.
It is, and I mean ultimately,
dangerous game.
The verse that I've got here, 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body.
Yeah.
You know, like, we are the temple of God. And when I just remember, like, you know, we are the treasure. Our bodies are this temple for the Holy Spirit. Like, why would I just let anybody in and out of it? You know, it's, you don't think that at the time.
No,
you're just thinking, oh, I want sex. Even as women, you might think, I want to be held.
Yeah.
I want someone to give me some loving. And, you know, especially that time of the month, ladies will attest to this. You know, sometimes you just want to be held. You want that physical affection. You want that physical touch. But, you know, the Bible doesn't mince God doesn't mince his words when he says that sexual sin is against our own body. So it's not even you're doing it with somebody else, but you're actually sinning and committing that sin against your own body. So,
and it's the same for men. Even though these guys are going around and some people think they're living their best life because they're sleeping with so many different women, they still want love and affection.
Yeah, that's true. They're not going to find that in a litany of women.
No, because you can't connect.
Mm.
And so you're sinning against the body, because after a while, you start to feel used.
Mm.
As much as you think you're using, you start to feel used, because it's like, okay, I like this woman. But, you know, there's no connection.
Yeah, there's nothing more than the physical.
And you can't connect with them. And you just feel like, I'm just a walking now. And especially the times, I can testify to this, especially when you're trying to make phone calls and you're trying to go and you got nowhere to go, then you go home by yourself.
Aww.
And then you feel, wow.
Yeah.
That's when it hits home. Mm. I know some guys, they cannot sleep by themselves.
Wow.
They have to try and find somewhere to sleep. And that's why they have lots of children as well.
Oh.
Our guys have told me that, because they can always go back.
Wow.
That's their intentions, that I can always have access to this woman. That's their plan. Because those lonely nights, some guys just don't like it. And some of them don't actually have anywhere to live.
Yes. And it's weird. Wow. That's deep. That's really deep. And that's why again it comes back to what we think sexual liberation leaves a lot in its wake, because you will be lonely. Because actually just the physical is not enough to sustain anybody. Yes, you might feel horny at a particular moment in time, and then once you've satisfied that desire, Okay, what next? You're back to being by yourself. It's not, it doesn't fulfill.
No.
You know, ultimately, we need to be like, okay, God, you fill this hole in me. And again, it's easier said than done. Yeah. Listen, when you're horny, you're horny. When you want that physical touch, you want that physical touch. But it's like, okay, how can we channel this? How can we channel this? And how can we, especially for singles in the church, let's be real. And I feel like sometimes maybe that's why sex isn't spoken about in the church so much. They feel like, oh, maybe single people will, if you talk about sex too much, it will be putting sex in the minds of single people too much, when people are already thinking it's about already it
there.
Anyway.
It's already there, because you can't hide it.
Mm.
You know, every advert in some way, you know, is a sexually innuendo. It's got some sort of connection. You know, you watch TV, any soap or anything, there's a connotation behind it. There's some energy behind it. So it's there.
Mm.
You know, you listen to a song, it's there.
Yes.
You know, even some of the gospel songs get misinterpreted as, you know, slow jams and, you know, certain songs. So it's there. It's always there. And when you become an adult, it's a natural, your body naturally craves it. You know, teenage boys, they go and play with themselves. It's natural.
It's true, yeah.
It's not because it's been put in their head. It's like, oh, I need to do something. My body's saying, hey. So it's not something that's not there. But the church needs to talk about it so it can be done in a healthy way and people look at it not as like, okay. Because the church's way of doing it is, you have sex, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Or you're going to burn in hell.
Don't even think about sex until you're married. Yeah, and then married, all of a sudden, you're supposed to have a 100% sex drive out of nowhere.
And what happens is people saying, but they had sex, they didn't die. Mm. Oh, that didn't happen, or this didn't happen to somebody, so why would it happen to me?
Mm.
You know?
And I really do think, and again, I know we're talking about single people here, but even for married couples, I just think it's important to bring God into our sex lives. And I know we said about not pray, or whether you to pray or not to pray, but even as married couples, there are some times where you may not feel like, oh, I can't be bothered to have sex with my spouse, or I can't, you know. But I feel like it is important, you know, it is important. It is important to have sexual intimacy on all sorts of levels, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Do you know what I mean? Intimacy is a whole, you know, and there are so many married couples that maybe haven't had sex with each other for months and they're in the same roof. They're sleeping in the same bed.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, but
unless
it exists.
Unless there's sickness.
But it exists. I feel like if we as a community, as a Christian community, give ourselves to actually let us talk about sex. Let it not be a taboo. Let it not be something. Because there are some people who might need some help. And I'm going to share something that, again, I don't know if this is too much to share. But again, I didn't know this kind of stuff. Mm. Like I said, me and my husband, I never ever felt that we should use contraception or anything like that. And then obviously now we had the second one. We're like, okay, but thank you, Lord. We're grateful for these two gifts. I didn't want to start going and putting something in me like an IUD or anything that. Lots of people have different things. So we just thought, okay, let's use condoms. I didn't know that I have like a latex allergy to condoms.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, that's something nobody's ever taught me was even a possibility.
Yeah.
So me and my husband would be trying to engage in intimacy and all of a sudden I'm dry down there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? So again, if it's too much, this can be cut out. But honestly, I had no idea. So that affected us for some time because I was thinking, what's wrong with my body? I want to be intimate with my partner. But my partner, my husband doesn't really believe me. He just went, oh, no, it's fine if you're not in the mood. I'm like, I'm in the mood. But he was just trying to be nice to me. No, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't. But I literally did not know what was going on with my body. I thought, is it an afterbirth thing? But literally, there'll be times where I was ready. And then the minute a condom is in, then all of a sudden my body just shuts down. Dryness, which was never an issue for me before. But again, I had this, and a lot of women actually have an allergy to latex, which, you know, it doesn't sit with them. And so then we had to now change to latex free. And again, maybe too much, but these things don't get taught, and it can all affect how you have intimacy with your partner.
So give us one tip if you've got to have a holy and healthy sex life.
My one tip would be, don't be afraid of bringing God into your sex life. That's what I would say. Don't be afraid of, for the single person who wants to have sex and is trying to deny that they want to have sex or hide that part of them, be real. Like, God knows you are struggling. God knows that you want to have sex, you want to find your person and, you know, have sex. Because literally, I was single, I just wanted to have, I'm like, God, I want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just try and hide that, trying to be holier than thou. And I feel like, no, like, talk to God about it. God is the one who created us. He created these our bodies. He knows the urges that we have. Be upfront and talk mm-hmm. to God about it.
That's
for
right.
the people who are married, bring God in. Like, if you've been having a good sex life thus far, pray to God for an even better one. If you've been having struggles, talk to God about it. Do you know what I mean? And I really actually think it was a revelation that God gave me that made me think, is it the condom that was making us have troubles in the bedroom?
So
it was actually, I felt like that was a revelation that God gave me to actually, is it the condom? Then I searched that. I just searched, can condoms cause dryness? Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, several women have latex allergies which causes dryness. I was like, what? I didn't
revelation.
Know
Bingo.
Yes. So I feel like that came about from me, like, actually, because I was praying about it. I was like, God, like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I love my husband. He thinks I'm just trying to, like, I don't want to have sex with him. I'm trying to be nice and I'm not, you know, it's probably too much. But anyway, again, we're being real. This is the Naked Love Podcast.
That's why it's called naked,
this is
man.
What we are doing. We're being real and upfront about love. So, yeah, that's what I would say. How about you, Theo?
I would say having a healthy relationship with your partner, just a relationship, period, will help with your sex life, your holy sex life, because your relationship is healthy. So that means you're speaking, you're talking, you're communicating, and everybody is comfortable. So your partner feels free to be able to express themselves and say, look, I don't like this, or I do like that, and this, what, you know, so you can feel free. So you have a healthiness, and that comes with being, and having patience with each other, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So having patience and understanding, because it's important. You know, as you said, you know, you was going through stuff and your husband was being patient and kind.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been bothering him, like, this damn girl, whatever. But he's being supportive.
Because
I know many men were there like, cha,
what's
this.
Wrong with you? Yeah.
And made it into a thing. But because your relationship's healthy, he can say, you know what? All right, sweetheart. Okay, I get you. It's not this and that. And then now you've, you know, found a thing now. It's like, okay, it's not me.
Yeah,
she hasn't gone off me, because he might have been thinking you've gone off him.
And I really believe that's what he was thinking.
Because it's like, she's not attracted to me anymore.
Yes.
All of that would go through a man's head. He's not going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Some men will, but some men won't.
No, he didn't. But I could just knew that he would be thinking
be
something like that.
All finer things would be gained. So having a healthy life, relationship helps with the sex life. So if you're connected to God, yes, you can pray about your relationship and all of that, and sex is part of the relationship,
so
it's not excluded from it. So having a healthy relationship will help with your sex life,
and then
you can pray if you want to pray before you go into the bedroom. If you want to pray in the
how are you whispering that
yeah,
part
because I don't know about all of that. When I'm in the mood, we ain't talking right about now. So that's the thing. And for singles, it's a fruit of the Spirit, patience. It's a big fruit of the Spirit. And just waiting on God. Just like you're waiting for God to give you a new job, or waiting on God it's the same thing with your partner. And it's the same thing with sex. Just be patient. Because what happens is we jump the gun and we want this person to be our partner or whatever it may be, and we make bad decisions. There's many people in church who are married to the wrong people.
Wow.
So if you're not married and you're in a relationship with somebody, sometimes you're blocking God's fruits because you're so busy chasing after somebody or something that's not really for you. So just have patience, have time, and God will reveal the person, man. Everything happens at the right time, God's timing.
Amen.
So just have patience, relax. And once you get married, then you can have as much. All those years you've been waiting for it, you can have as much
as you want.
Yes.
But then you'll be surprised that sometimes you think, I'm gonna be like a rabbit. And then
after two times, like,
thanks. But it's better to believe it when you're there. But holy and healthy sex lives are definitely possible, whatever in whatever capacity that looks like for us as Christians, in a beautiful and thriving marriage in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I pray that for all of us. I pray that we would let's close in prayer. I'll just, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we can just come before you and be honest and real, Lord God. I pray for those singles there right now, Lord God, who some may not be thinking about sex. Some are patiently waiting. And I pray, God, for more patience and more continued blessing to wait upon you, Lord God. But for those who may be struggling, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that you would let them know that it is nothing to hide, Heavenly Father. You're the one who created us. You're the one who made us. You know us more than we know ourselves. So I just pray, Lord God, that anybody struggling in that area would be able to commune with you and talk to you about it, Lord God, and not hide it from you, Lord God. You see all, you know all, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that as Theo has said, that yes, they would just have that fruit of patience just working within them, Lord God, and that in the right time that you will unify them, you will unify them with the right people, with the right person for them, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, for the married couples who may not be thriving in their sexual lives right now, Lord God, I just pray, Heavenly Father, that again they would bring it before you, Lord God, and that they would put this before you and just say, look, Lord, take our sexuality, take our this area of our lives, Lord God, and let it glorify you, Lord God. Your word did say, you know, be fruitful and multiply, Lord God. So Lord, just let that be the case in our sexual lives, in our married lives, in all of our lives, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that all of us, whatever our situation, Lord God, that we would truly let you into all areas of our lives, Lord God, that we would let you be the head of everything, Lord God. You do not just care about us on Sundays when we go to church. You don't just care about whether, you know, we're reading our Bible at a particular time in the morning, Lord God. You care about every detail of our lives. Amen. Your word says that you know every single strand of hair on our head. Look at that level of detail, Lord God. So I just pray, Lord God, that we would just come closer to you in every aspect of our lives and give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful.
Tweet #. Naked Love Podcast. Let us know what you're thinking. We're here.
We're back,
baby.
We're back, man. We're back,
baby. But we just want to say thanks for listening.